said that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand on the sea, and the waters may come again unto the Egyptians and their chariots and upon their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand all over the sea and returned to the strength, and the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And verse number 29, the Bible says, the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servants. And I didn't read the verse I wanted to read. I still didn't find it, but it's in there. Where the Lord was between, there's between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And so anyway, that word between is what jumped off the page. I mean, I'm not going to try to dig in there and find it in the verses, but you'll find it. Look it up. It's in there. God put something between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. Amen. There was a cloud that had a pillar of night, and then through the night, he was there to protect them. All right, so in the scripture there, in the book of Exodus, what jumped off the page there was that the Lord was protecting, and there was something between the children of Israel and the Egyptians, amen? And God said, I have put between you these things. And so that word between jumped off the page, Evan. That's where I want to go this morning, so you pray for me as I try to do that. I looked up that word between, and it has five different meanings to that word between. And the first definition of the word between is an intermediate space without regard to distance. As a New York River is between Boston and Philadelphia, or the Delaware River runs between Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So it has an intermediate space without regard to distance. Then the second definition for the word between is from one another, passing from one to another, noting exchange of actions or intercourse as things go well between the parties. Then there's a third definition. It says belonging to two or more in common or partnership, as two friends, but have one soul between them. We observe that between is not restricted to two, to the number two. So there's between two or more in common or partnership. Then the fourth definition is having mutual relation to two or more, or discourse extinct between the families. Then the fifth definition, this is all from Webster's 1828 dictionary, noting difference or discrimination of one from another as to distinguish between right and wrong. So there's a lot of definitions to that word, and I want to deal with that this morning on what the Lord has used in the scripture in between. If you look at the word between them, you get so many verses. I mean, there's verse after verse all throughout the Bible where they use their word between. There's also another word that is used, it's called betwixt. You'll find that in there too, which betwixt in the Bible means the same thing. It's spelled different, but it still means between. It's the same definition, same word. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I want you to notice with me here this first passage of Scripture in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says that God had to curse the ground, amen, sent it into the world, cursed the devil, as far as slew foot. But in verse 15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we find that the first place I want to go to is dealing with this word between. We find in the scripture that God has put enmity between the woman, between the serpent and the woman. Amen? In this passage we find the definition of the word between. It means a noting difference. All right, to which was the number five that we used there. It's a noting difference. In this passage, we find that it means a noting difference. And the word enmity means to have ill will or the quality of being an enemy. So now, in the very beginning, that whenever man sinned and sin entered into the world, the curse of sin, God says to the serpent, I'm going to put between you and the woman, I'm going to put something between you two, and it's enmity, which is ill will or an enemy. The devil certainly is an enemy, man. He rebelled against God, and the thing that he did in the garden was against God and against God's will, so no doubt there's an enemy. So when Adam or man sinned in the Garden of Eden, the curse of sin entered into the world, and there at the very beginning of man, there was no evil, there was no sin, but now there is, and there's enmity between the two. The devil tempted man and sin entered into the world. Then God made a covenant with man and promised a deliverer. Amen. Who was to bruise, as the scripture says, was to bruise the tempter's head. That's what that scripture is discussing there and dealing with. And I'm not going to get real deep into that, but I want you to see there that word between, that God in the very beginning put something between woman and the devil. Amen. Between man and the enemy, God intervened and put something in there between the two so that they would be separated. Amen. This was a fulfillment of scripture whenever God gave the deliverer or promised the deliverer who would bruise the tempter's head. It is fulfilled throughout the scripture. We find the birth of Christ, which we just celebrated at Christmas time, the birth of Christ. That is the deliverance of the promise, amen, of God when he made this statement that the tempter's head would be bruised, amen, by the deliverer, which was Jesus Christ. And he was born. We just talked about that we find the fulfillment of the deliverer being promised in the death of Christ. We know that he died and was buried and spent 3 days in the tomb. We know that. We understand that. He was the supreme sacrifice for all sins, for all men. And then we also know that the scripture teaches us the resurrection of Christ from the death and the grave. So the fulfillment of the deliverer was promised, that God promised that in the very beginning, and he delivered on that promise. Amen. Christ is the promised deliverer that would be between man and God. So God had said that in the very beginning, because man had sinned, God says, I'm going to put something between you and sin. Amen. And that's enmity. Between the devil and God, there's an ill will there that man should understand. It's not God's will that we do what is pleasing to the devil, but that we do what is pleasing unto God. Amen? So there's an ill will there. Go into Luke chapter 16, if you will. Luke chapter 16, another familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to jump from the Old Testament over to the New Testament. And I know it's a pretty big jump, but just hang in there with me. We find that God had promised to give a deliverer, and that deliverer came. Amen? He was buried in the borrowed tomb, resurrected, amen, after 3 days, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. We know that he came, and God put something between man and God. It's called an ill will, or if you would, it's called enmity, which means to have an ill will, or understanding it to be an enemy. Amen. We have an enemy. And it is the serpent, it's the devil, amen, who is our enemy. Our flesh is also our enemy, and the world is also our enemy. Now we're going to dig into that real deep this morning, but we should have an understanding of that. We do have three enemies, the flesh, the devil, and the world. Our flesh blames a lot of things on the devil when it's our sorry rotten flesh that's done these things. The world causes us to do things, entices us to do things, and we give into those things of the world. That's our enemy, amen. The world can attract you with all kinds of things to keep you away from the house of God, keep you out of the will of God. There's an ill will, should be, between the believer and the world. There's enmity there, amen, that should be, because the world tries to take us away from the will of God. That's what happened in Adam and Eve's day. That's what happened to Eve when the serpent came on the scene. He took her away from the will of God and enticed her to do something against the will of God. There's where God intervened, amen. I'm glad, thank God, that God intervened, amen. Now we come to Luke chapter 16, verse number 26. Luke 16, 26, the Bible says, there and beside all this, between, there's that word, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. We find in this passage of Scripture, the Scripture tells us that between us and them, that as you read the account there of Lazarus and the rich man, he's speaking to the rich man, and he says to him, there's a gulf fixed between hell and heaven. Amen? The ones that are in hell can't get to heaven, and the ones that are in heaven ain't going to hell. Amen? That's enough to shout on right there. Amen? But we find that this word between, in this passage of Scripture, it has the use of the word is the intermediate space. As I give that definition, the first definition, in the intermediate space without regard to distance. And so that's the word being used here, between. It's an intermediate space. There's a gulf fixed between heaven and hell. We had the account of the rich man and Lazarus, both who died. Lazarus goes to heaven, and the rich man, the Bible says, goes to hell. He lifted up his eyes, verse 23, and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So we have here the word between in this passage of Scripture, that there's something, there's a space between heaven and hell. Amen? The souls that go to hell cannot beg their way out of hell. There's no way you can pray them out of hell. Amen? And you can't pay them out of hell. Whenever they go to hell, they're there for all eternity. Amen? And so we find that it means in this passage of Scripture that there's a space. It's a fixed space. It's an intermediate space that's fixed between heaven and hell. There's no way out. And once the soul of the unbeliever enters into hell, there's no way out. Amen? The world is trying to, society tries to say there's no such place as hell. But the King James Bible teaches us there is a place, and it's called hell. Amen? The Bible says that God created hell, not for the believer or the unbelievers. God created hell originally for those angels that had fallen. Amen? For the devil and his angels that fell from heaven. That's original what hell was created for.
Right.
Amen? Everybody with me? But man has rejected God, and in his rebellion, there's a punishment, and that punishment is the place that's called hell when they die. Amen? There was a certain man, the Bible says, Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You know what that means? It means he was a rich man. That doesn't mean that rich people die and go to hell. It just means that this rich man rejected God and died and went to hell. Amen. Verse number 20 says that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. You know what that means? It means he was a poor man. Doesn't mean that poor men or poor people only go to heaven. Amen. That's not what the Bible's teaching. There's a lot of twisting of the Scriptures, a lot of false teachers out there that say only the rich go to heaven. Amen. If you're not prospering, if God's not blessing your life, if you don't own 14 cars and 20 houses and the big bank accounts, you're not going to heaven. That's a lie to heaven. Amen. That's not of God. That's not the teachings of the Bible. You don't have to be rich to go to heaven. You don't have to be rich to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to be poor to go to heaven. You don't have to be poor to go to hell. It has nothing to do with your finances. Amen. But as we study this passage of Scripture, there's two different individuals here. One rejected God and one accepted God. And that's what makes the difference. And so the one that had rejected God says, hey, listen, send somebody to tell my brothers, amen, about this awful place. And he cried, verse 24. And he said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Lord says, hey, listen, you're in torments and you're burning, but there's no way anybody from glory can come to hell. There's only one ever done that. His name was Jesus Christ. Amen. He went down there and got the keys. Amen. Kicked the old devil in the hind end, took his keys away from him, said, I own everything. Amen. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. So there's only one that's ever done that. And so he tells him there's no way that Abraham can jump from heaven to hell to bring you just a little touch of water. You've rejected the truth of the Word of God. You rejected everything that was taught in the Scriptures. You rejected the prophecies that were given. You rejected all that. So now you find your place in hell, and there's no way out.
Amen.
Let me give you a few things real quick. I'm going to try to hit it and move quickly. What this passage of Scripture teaches about that word between is that there's a gulf fixed between. Nobody can get from heaven to hell and hell from heaven. It just doesn't work that way, no matter what man tries to say. Hell is a place of fire and torment. We find it in verse 23 and 24 of Luke 16. The Bible also teaches us that hell is a place of no mercy and a place of no comfort. In verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And this place is a place of no mercy. Amen. There's no letting up. You're there and you're going to suffer for all eternity. There's no comfort. Amen. Send Lazarus that he may comfort me and bring me some water and cool my tongue. And there's no help. Amen. This passage teaches us that there's a gulf fixed between there. And although we may want to try to help them, and there may be some desire to try to help those that's in hell, there's no way anybody can get there to help. Amen. There's no comfort. There's no mercy. There's no help. Hey, listen, there's a group out there that worships the devil. They have the satanic Bible. They have the satanic churches. There's some say that they're looking forward to dying and going to hell. My friend, they're so deceived by the devil. There's no partying going on in hell. There's no goodness in hell. There's no comfort in hell. It's torment for all eternity. It's the flames of hell forever and forever. And the fire is never quenched and the worm never died. And it's not going to be anything exciting about that, and there will never be any escape of the place called hell.
Amen.
It's a place of remembrance. Luke 25, verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Place of hail is a place of remembrance. I believe that everybody that's ever heard the gospel message will remember the individual that brought them the gospel message. I believe everybody that ever rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and slams the door in the face of a believer that tries to knock on their door and hand them a tract, I believe personally when they go to hell, they're going to remember every time they slam the door in the face of God and say, "Get off of my porch." Amen. Listen now, whenever we go and invite somebody to church and whenever we hand them a tract and try to tell them about the Lord and they slam the door in our face and run us off, they're not running us off and slamming the door in our face. They're shutting the door on glory, amen. They're slamming the door on the kingdom of God. They're telling God, "I don't want you. I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want your Savior. I don't want your heaven. I don't want your crowns. I don't want your rewards. I don't want anything you have to offer me." That's what they're saying when they slam the door in our face. Amen. That's hard to deal with when they slam the door in your face. You ever had the door slammed in your face?
Yeah.
I have many times. Listen, whenever they do that, it's a place of remembrance. Hell is a place of remembrance. Whenever they do that, there will be a day whenever they're in hell, they're going to remember every time that somebody invited them to the house of God.
Amen.
Hell is a place of no hope. It's no escape. It's no second chance after death. There's to get the great gulf fixed. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So there's no escape, there's no second chance, there's no way of getting out.
Yeah.
Amen. Hell's a place of unanswered prayer.
Yeah.
My mind. Not only is there a gulf fixed for where the soul can't leave heaven to go to hell, no, can't leave heaven to go to heaven. But in hell, that's a gulf fixed, but there's no answered prayer. You mean God don't hear their prayer? They rejected God. They rejected God. They're in hell because they rejected God.
Amen.
They're in hell for eternal punishment and torment because they rejected God.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't hear their prayer. Their unanswered prayers. Listen, verse 27. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send thee into my Father's house. For I have five brethren that he would testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Watch what he said, verse 29. Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." You know what he said? Moses and the prophets, what that is? That's the word of God.
Amen.
They've got the word of God. You had the same thing. You ignored it.
Yeah.
There's no answered prayer. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they would repent." And he said unto them, "If they hear not, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead." It's a place of unanswered prayer. Amen. There's a gulf fixed between you and me. Hell is a place of unchanged sinners. We just read that in the last two verses. They don't hear the prophets. They don't hear Moses and the prophets. They're not going to hear. They're not going to listen. Unchanged sinners. The unsaved rich man still refuses to hear and accept truth. He's begging. He's already been given the answers. "No, I'm not going to do that. They have Moses and the prophets." He said, "No, but if one rose from the dead," and what is he doing in the past? He's rejecting again, still in hell, rejecting the word of God. He's still argumentative. He's still stubborn. He's still self-willed. He looks for an excuse so as to why sinners do not believe. He's looking for an answer, but he's not going to find it. So there's no answered prayers. I'm going to move on. There's the enmity between God and man. Then there's the gulf fixed between heaven and hell. Amen? Is everybody with me so far? I've got 10 minutes to preach my last point. I'll try to get it done. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go with me. 1 Timothy chapter 2. See if I can pull this all together here at the end. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We look at verse number 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator," here's the word, "between God and men,"
yeah,
"the man, Christ Jesus." That word "between" in this passage of Scripture, it has the meaning as an intermediate space with that regard to distance. It also has the meaning from one another, passing from one to another, noting exchange of actions. It also has the meaning of belonging to two or more in common or partnership. It also has the meaning of having mutual relations to two or more. It also has the definition, has all five definitions in this one word, noting difference, discrimination of one from another, or to distinguish between right and wrong. So, and that word between in this passage of Scripture, it uses all five definitions. We find that in this verse of Scripture, verse number 5, there is one God, there's one mediator between God and men, and that is Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. He is alone as Savior. Amen? There's a space between God and man. And in that intermediate space between God and man, there's only one that can put man in touch with God. Amen. Man cannot get in touch with God on his own. In our flesh, our sorry rotten flesh, we're sinners by nature. Amen? Yeah. Not because of what we do what we do because we're sinners. We're sinners by nature. We've been born into a world of sin. Sin's been cast upon all the world since the very beginning in Genesis. And everybody's a sinner, but there's no way that a sinner in his sin can get to God except there be one in between. Amen? And that's Jesus Christ. He is Savior alone. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, 1, verse 13, He paid the price by Himself. He did that Himself. He is Christ alone and none other. Let me give you about four or five things real quickly. I wrote these down. Hope it helps you. First of all, the mediator is between God and man. Man can't get to God unless he goes through the mediator. Jesus Himself said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. But only through Jesus Christ. First, He's Christ, meaning that He's Messiah. He's God's anointed. It was promised in the Old Testament prophecy. He's the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The seed of David, the line of the tribe of Judah. The fulfillment of the Levitical offerings. That's Jesus Christ. Secondly of all, He's fully man and fully God, so that He could be the go-between God and man. We find that in our verse of Scripture. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. He is the second Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's Jesus Christ. He's the go-between. Thirdly, He's still man after His resurrection. We find that in this passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. In contrast to Jehovah's Witnesses' heresy, that says He's not man, He's spirit. That's not Bible. Amen? He's still man. How do you know that? Because the Bible says there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's still man. Amen. Fourthly, He's the only true mediator between God and man. He's the only mediator between God and man. There's no priest, there's no saints, there's no Mary. Amen. There's not even a church between God and man.
Amen.
That does away with Roman Catholicism. Does away with a whole lot of other stuff. Amen. There's nothing. There's not a church, there's not a priest. You can't pray to Mary, you can't rub the rosary beads, you can't do all these rituals. None of that stuff will get you to God. There's only one, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Job chapter 9, verse 32, Job longed for what the Bible says or gives us as a daysman. Job 9, 32 and 33, a daysman who would lay his hand upon us both. Now, who in the world could do that? They ain't none but Jesus Christ. Lay his hand upon us both. What does that mean? That means God and man. Job was longing for a daysman who could lay his hand upon us both and bring us together. Jesus is the answer to that longing. Amen. The Lord Jesus knows all there is to know about God. You know why that is? Because He is God. Amen. He knows everything about God because He is God.
Amen.
Amen. He knows all there is to know about man because He's man. 100% man, 100% God. Amen. He can lay His hand on both God in heaven and He can lay His hand on man on earth. The great gulf that has been spanned, Christ is the one that can fill that gulf, amen, and span between man and God. Christ is the great high priest. He's our advocate with the Father, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. There's a gulf fixed between heaven and hell. There's a fix between answered prayers in hell and there's also a gulf fixed between man and God. There's an intermediate space there. Man can't get to God on his own. There must be some help. Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. Let me say this morning. There's answered prayer for those that are on this earth. Haven't went to hell yet. Not in heaven. But there's answered prayers to hear. How do we get our prayers answered? You and I, as man, cannot go to God and say anything on our own. God does not hear us. We must go through Jesus Christ. Amen. The mediator. The one that has peace between us and God. You can go to the courtroom and walk in there and say, I want to see the judge. You won't see the judge. Amen. You've got to go through somebody else before you get to the judge. Amen. A lot of other places like that, you go into the lawyer's office and say, I want to see the lawyer. I need to see him right now. You won't get to him until you go through somebody else first. Amen. The same principle is applied here between man and God. There's something between that, and it's Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. Amen. He settles the matter. If man tries to get to God and man is not saved, man has not accepted Jesus Christ, the only prayer that God hears from a lost man that goes through Jesus Christ is his prayer of repentance.
Amen.
There's been a lot of lost people that say that God has answered their prayer. I have news for you. God has not answered your prayer. That is the deception of the devil. Amen. God doesn't answer sinners' prayers except for the prayer of repentance.
Amen.
Amen. Once the prayer of repentance has been answered and they prayed that prayer and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now you and I that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as our Savior, we can go to God in prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We go through the mediator. Salvation. Hallelujah. Salvation is the ransom that Christ paid. Ransom means to pay the price that satisfies the debt. Salvation cost God a great price. His beloved Son paid our debt with the terrible suffering that he went through. Salvation is a free gift to sinners because the price has been fully paid by Christ Himself. He is now the mediator. He's paid the atonement, and He was the substitutionary death. Amen. And He's paid the debt. So now He's the one that we go through. He's our go-between. Amen. He's our go-between. Now that word between has all those different meanings. And I was just had this on my heart, my mind. I tried to get up early this morning and put some thoughts together with it and meditate on it since the Lord laid it on me the other night. But salvation, as we talk about salvation and having a mediator, that man thinks they can do things for God. You know what man thought in the very beginning? Man thought that they could build a tower. They could build a tower. They could reach heaven.
Yeah.
And God never told them to do that. You know what God did? God scattered. That's why we have nations, tongues, and kindreds. That's why, because they rebelled against God. Man still thinks they can do things. They can get to God without Jesus Christ. They think they can do things on their own, but it's not going to happen. There must be a go-between. Because there's something there that's stopping them to get there. Amen? Christ was a ransom for all. Doesn't mean that all men are saved, but He's a ransom for all. It means that Christ has made it possible for all men to be saved. Verse number 6 in 1 Timothy chapter 2 says that Christ will be testified in due time. God's in control of time. Amen? God is time. He's in control of time. Christ appeared at His first coming. In God's time, He will make His second appearance. Amen? In glory. And all men, according to the Scripture, all men will bow their knee and confess, He is Lord.
Amen.
He is King. Although they may not do that now, they will one day. They can say all they want to say about how they can talk to God and get to God without Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen. They can say all they want to say about how they can get their prayers answered out of hell, what they're going to do in hell, and all the things they talk about hell, and try to make it sound like a splendid place. That's not going to happen. Amen? They can say whatever they want to say. The Bible teaches us a lot of things about this word between, and it's a deep word. It goes really deep. Let me ask you this one. What's between you and your God? Elijah asked a question to all those that was in Jerusalem, in Israel. How long halt ye between two opinions? You going to serve man or you going to serve God? You going to serve a false God or you going to serve a true God? How long halt ye between those two opinions? What's between you and your God? There's a lot of people today in this day and time, this dispensation of time, in our day, there's a lot of people that have something between them and the church. There's something between them and the church. What's between you and your service to the Lord? That's a good question. Amen. What's between me and God? Jesus Christ. Amen. What's between me getting my prayers answered? I can go through Jesus Christ, but what's stopping me from getting my prayers answered? Is there something between me and the Lord? Is there a sin that's hindering me? That's a good thought, amen? What's between me and the Lord? What's holding me? Why do I have two different opinions? Do I want to go forward with God, or do I want to sit back and see what everybody else does? No, I don't want to sit back and see what everybody else does. I want to get on board and go with God. Amen. What's between us and doing what the Lord wants us to do? What's between our life as a believer, as a Christian, and Christian service? What's keeping us from the house of God? What's keeping us from being faithful to the Lord? Amen. That's good preaching. Now, if you're faithful to the Lord, you know I'm not talking to you. Amen. But there's many folks that's left the churches, and churches are shutting their doors, and they've given up on God as though God's out of business. And God's not out of business, amen? He's still saving old sinners, amen? He's still calling men to preach and calling men into the ministry, amen? God's still doing great things. And so we have to find out what's between us and God, and what does God want me to do, and what's hindering me from doing what He wants me to do. What's holding me back? Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find a blank page. Between 2021 and 2022. You know what we have? We have a blank page. Yeah. You got up this morning, you know what you have when you started your day? You had a blank page. You fulfilled some things on that page this morning. You got up, got ready to come to the house of God, and you're here. You started your day off right. Amen. You started with the Lord. You've already started writing in your page for today for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. What's the rest of your going to look like? What's between you and fulfilling the will of the Lord in 2022? He has given us a blank page. Yeah. It's up to us how we fill it. Every day we get up, it's up to us how we fill that page. Between yesterday and today, it's a blank page. Between today and tomorrow, there'll be a blank page. Mm-hmm. There's always something between. Amen? Yeah. How we fill that page. That word between, I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of preaching with that little word. It goes a long way. I asked us all this morning to think about these things. What's between you and the Lord? Is there anything? And it may not be anything. Amen. You may have perfect peace in your heart between you and the Lord. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. You ought to praise Him for it. Amen. That there's nothing between you and the Lord. But what about maybe one of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Maybe there's something between y'all that can't get along. You know what that is? That's a hindrance to the work of the Lord. There's a hindrance. Make sure there's nothing between us and each other. We're taught in Sunday school this morning that we're to comfort one another, edify one another, and enjoy each other's fellowship. Amen. Yeah. Having a good time this morning, aren't we?
Yeah.
Make sure we're right with each other. You know why we need to be right with each other? Because we don't have time to fight. We don't fight against each other. We don't fight against flesh and blood. That's what the Scripture says. We don't fight against each other. We fight against the principalities and rulers of darkness. Amen. Fight against that wickedness, that enmity, that evil. That's what we fight against, not each other. What's between you and fulfilling the will of the Lord in 2022? If the Lord decides that He's coming in the next few minutes, that'd be awesome. That'd be a hallelujah shouting all the way to glory. Amen.
Amen.
But if He decides He's not coming until some other time later, and I'm not going to put a time on that, but somebody said, oh, the preacher said the Lord was coming in 2023. I'm not going to say that. If the Lord doesn't come in 2022, what's stopping us? What's between us and doing His will? Mm-hmm. Not only that, let me go a little bit further and get you to think about this. I'm just trying to encourage the thought process. Amen? What will we allow to come between us and the Lord? One of the preachers Friday night stood here in the pulpit and said that his business, the Lord had told him 2 years before he shut it down to shut it down. He didn't hear. He didn't listen. And then it erupted, and he had to shut it down. You know, I don't know all the details about that, but I'm pretty sure I can put two and two together. But there was something between him and his Lord, and it was his business. God took it out of the equation. Mm-hmm. I can testify to that because I know I had a business myself about 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. And that business was keeping me so busy. Only did it 2 days a week, and it kept me so busy. And I mean, it was running me to death to try to keep it up. I was trying to sell cars, work on cars, and detail cars, pastor church, and work a full-time job. I was doing every bit of that. And I love cars. That's just a thing. You know, I got oil in my veins, I guess.
Yeah.
It looked kind of oily. It looked kind of like transmission fluid whenever they was taking it all out of it a few months ago. But I love cars, and I just like, but that was distracting me. And it was taking all of my time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened? The Lord took it away.
Yeah.
Amen. He took it away. It cost me a lot of money. And I realized, fool, you're foolish. You're a fool. Because you're allowing this to take you away from what God wants.
Yeah.
And I was spending so much time trying to get this done and get that done. And so I realized that was between me and my Lord. What will get between us and the will of God? I pray nothing does. I pray that we'll take this message and apply it to our hearts and our minds and write it down on that blank page. God's given me a blank page this year. I want to fill this page up that it'll bring glory and honor to God. Everything I do, everything I say, I want it to bring glory and honor to God. I've been hindered. Some of us have been hindered. The book of Galatians, Paul wrote to the church and says, you did run well. You was running really good and doing well, but who did hinder you?
Yeah.
That was the devil got involved and hindered them from doing the will of God. And so he encouraged them to get back on track, get your focus right, get back on track, and do something for God. Amen? What's between you and the will of God? There may be somebody listening by social media this morning that's listening through Facebook, may not know Jesus Christ. What's between you and heaven?
Yeah.
What would stop a man or a woman? What could be so important on this earth that it would stop us from accepting Jesus Christ, the free gift? There's nothing on this earth that's more important. But to some people there is. If you're listening by social media this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Don't put it on. There's nothing this world has to offer that's as important as your soul going to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.